Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 183. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are. In your car, in the gym, at your house. It's just amazing to have you here. So again, thank you. This episode is going to be really fun. Again, it's going to be part two. Sterling Koza is going to be doing part two of his two-part series on modal tunes, and he's going to be taking it up a notch. And this is going to be for the advanced players, and he's going to be going over a Kenny Barron tune called Voyage, which is a fantastic tune. If you haven't checked that out, definitely go check that out. And you will be in this particular lesson as well. So again, he's going to be going over the three ways to shed over modal tunes. And again, when you're playing modal tunes, it's very easy to just kind of fizzle out or just kind of get wrapped up in your own thoughts because there's not many changes, right? Stuff, lots of stuff makes us feel like we have stuff to play, you know, like things are moving, chord changes are moving, we can kind of noodle through them or play through them, depending upon how good you are, right? And it gives us a lot of notes to play. But when you're sitting on one chord for a long time, or you're sitting on a couple chords and you only have, you know, not many chords to play, or you know, the quality is not changing, it presents problems, right? It's like, well, what do I do now? I just got one chord for a bunch of, you know, I'm not just talking about Voyage. I'm talking about a lot of tunes in general when the chords are just sitting there. And, you know, it kind of starts to get us thinking like, well, how can I just, what do I just play over like a C minor 7 for 4, 6, 8, 12, 16 bars, you know? And so, you know, that's what we're going to be talking about in this particular episode. And it's really, really good. So we got a lot of fun stuff coming up in the next couple months, and I'm working like a dog right now to actually rebuild a lot of Jazz Piano School. It's so funny. Like every year I find myself rebuilding Jazz Piano School, like rebuilding all the content. Like I crave the best tools, you know, I crave the best tools. And so I found this new tool that's going to help take Jazz Piano School to the next level. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Works great. And what we're going to be able to do, and it's Jazz Piano School is it's an amazing place. And I don't just say that, but I strive for excellence. I strive to create an amazing, gorgeous, art-filled experience, right? I don't want a cookie-cutter experience. And there's so many different ways. Technology presents problems, right, in the online industry. And all these different, there's different tools, and they're kind of just like, bah. You know, it's like walking into just like another, I don't know, like crappy coffee shop or something like that. That's a terrible analogy. But, you know, when you go into just some sort of store that's just like every other store, you're like, oh, okay, or movie, or it's just like, it's not inspiring. It's not motivating. It's not, you know, different. And I want to make Jazz Piano School different. There's so many cookie cutter templates out there for online learning education. Everything looks the same. You got the navigation on the right hand side, you know, that got the course complete, the course bars and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, that's cool. But I want Jazz Piano School to be like Disneyland. Like you walk through Disneyland and it's like, oh my God, like they've clearly spent just hours, like thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of hours putting this together, putting thought into this, making it the most magical, dream world, inspiring, motivating escape land ever. And that's exactly what I want to make Jazz Piano School. And when you go to other sites and other courses and not just for jazz piano, but for everything, right? They're all kind of the same. Now, the content, don't get me wrong, is different, right? You got different educators, you got different content. Some of it's better, some of it's not so great. You got the materials and things like that, but you know, just the experience tends to get a little bland, and especially when you're going through self-motivated learning courses, like that you have to make yourself sit down, you have to make yourself log in, you have to make yourself hit the play button, you have to make yourself be patient enough to watch the videos, practice, right, and teach yourself through that. It's all kind of self-motivated. Like, you want to have an experience that is going to really just, you know, grab you. Like, you need to be thinking about it when you're at work, when you're away from your computer, like, oh, I can't wait to get home, I can't wait to log in and start learning, right? That's the type of experience that I want to create for people. Now, because of that, we need to go through, my team and I need to go through a lot of different changes, a lot of testing, a lot of toying, a lot of curse words, a lot of sleepless nights, me thinking about why crap isn't working, you know, how to make it better, why isn't there something that can make this, you know, the way I want it to be. And in a perfect world, if I had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'd hire a developer to build me exactly what I want. I'd be like, okay, this is what I want. I want you to code this thing from scratch, just like Facebook, you know? But unfortunately, developers, really, really good developers, cost $100 to $150 bucks an hour. And projects like that are easily like $50,000, $60,000, right? It would have all the features, all the fun games. Again, it's like creating Disneyland from scratch, right? So you need to find the middle ground, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I think luckily I found something that's really, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I don't want to say it, but like, you know what I mean? It could be great. It could be exactly what I've been looking for this entire time. The flexibility, the features, the customizations that it allows us to do, but all with not having to go in the back end too much. And some of you are probably like, Brennan, what the heck is he talking about? This has nothing to do with jazz piano right now. But that's what the podcast is. It's me talking about Jazz Piano School, the Jazz Piano journey, everything, and the whole business in general. And yeah. So another note, one of my good friends that I play with a lot, a trumpet player, I hope he doesn't mind if I say his name, Joe Mazzaferro, fantastic trumpet player, educator in the area that I live, and we work together a lot. And he had a fantastic gig. He had some cats down here. He had Carl Allen, amazing, amazing drummer, on so many fantastic albums that I've listened to since I was like a little kid. A lot of Benny Green albums, just amazing, amazing drummer. He also had Rodney Whitaker, who is fantastic bass player. He's been played with so many legends, Wynton Marsalis, Roy Hargrove, man, just to name a few, Terrence Blanchard, and Chad Lefkowitz Brown was also on this gig that I went to and saw. And man, this was just something else. It's something special. And you know what I noticed is that these guys, like, you know, they are famous. They're so good. They are so good. And there's a whole new level. Like, when you think you're at a high level, it's like you need to take your artistry, you need to take your playing, you need to take any sort of passion in your life, whatever you're passionate about, to a completely new level. And I noticed this, and Chad, too, who's amazing, amazing saxophone player, and he's becoming really, really well-known in the world and definitely a fixture in jazz history for his playing and everything like that, and such a sweet guy. And he grew up, at UOP, didn't grow up, but he went to UOP and was a fellow at the Brubeck Institute that I play with a bunch and play down in Stockton. And he's grown so much, and I've heard him. I don't know him personally, but I've just followed him throughout his career and things like that. But him especially, he holds nothing back. Nothing. Like, holds nothing back. And it's so, It's a brush of fresh air. It's wow. Did I? Yeah, I just flubbed those two things. I switched the two letters. It's a brush of fresh air. It's a it's a breath of fresh air. My dyslexia is highly in tune today for some reason. I'm very tired. I've been working like crazy. But yes, it's a breath of fresh air. And I always describe to people too, my students and a lot of musicians I come in contact with who are fantastic, but there's a difference between a really, really good musician and then like that next level musician who makes you just jaw dropped, right? And the difference is I meet so many fantastic musicians who are, you know, fantastic pros. They're pros even. They can play everything. They have no problem soloing. They probably can teach me more theory than I even can teach or other people. But the difference between high class musicians, like masterful, is that there's something holding them back. Like they're not raw enough. It's not raw enough. It's contained. It's safe. And again, I always describe this analogy. It's like when you listen to them play, it's like having an itch. It's like having an itch on your arm, right? And you ask someone if your hands are tied or you're holding something, you're like, oh, scratch my itch, right? And they're scratching your arm and they're not getting it. You're like, no, to the left, right. Oh, to the right. No, up. All right. Oh, no, just down, a little to the side, you know? Yeah, the experience, everyone's done that before, right? But they're never able to scratch that itch, the spot, the exact spot that you need it, right? And the difference is that these players like Chad, they're so raw. They put everything into their solos and their playing at all times that itch is scratched. And they're getting you. They're getting that itch. They're bullseyeing that spot. And it is so relieving, and it's like, oh yes, you are taking me on a journey into a spot that I'm like, I need. Like, I want you to bring my soul to this area of inspiration. You know, it's on an artistic journey, artistic creative journey, and it's so amazing. And so it's just something to think about. And again, these are very high level concepts for people that may not be. You know, you may feel like you're stuck, you're in a plateau. Like, you need to break out of your safety zone, break out of your safe net, your box, and go for it. Because that is the only way you're going to get past certain points, sticking points in your playing. Again, this is after you've mastered all the fundamentals, all the foundations, all the, you know, nitpicky stuff. To bring your level, to bring your playing to that next level, you just got to leave everything. You got to throw everything out the door, essentially, and just go for it, right? You need to get uncomfortable. You need to be uncomfortable in order to grow. And that's how you do it. And completely expose yourself. It's a very intimate process. But again, it was so great to see that, you know, from those heavy hitting cats. And they're such awesome guys. And it was a great show. I was so happy for my buddy. And there's another amazing pianist in the area that he got. Usually I play with him, but he got this guy because I think Dr. Joe Gilman, who he's done a course actually on Jazz Piano School. He did the Bill Evans part one of the Bill Evans arranging system for Jazz Piano School. Amazing guy. He played with Bobby Hutcherson for so long. Dr. Joe Gilman played on the gig, and he's played with, I think, Carl and Rodney a couple times before, so that's why I got him. Otherwise, I would have been playing. Whatever. I'm just kidding. I did record with Carl, though, on Joe's first album. We had Carl on his first album, so that was awesome. I loved playing with Carl. Amazing guy. And it was so funny because the first time I met him, you know, I was like, hey, man, I'm a huge fan. He's like, oh, you sound killing, man. He's like, but I got one question for you. And I'm thinking that he's going to be like, you know, why were you doing this over the A section? He's like, I was thinking he was gonna be like, that was completely interfering. That was messed up, man. That wasn't good. But he goes, where'd you get that watch? It's like, I was wearing one of my nicer watches for some reason. I don't know, but that's what I remember about Carl. It was so freaking funny. And I was like nervous and that relieved at the same time. He's like, where'd you get that watch? It was also amazing to record with him. This one of my idol drummers who had played on these early albums I'd listened to since I was a kid, with Christian McBride and Benny. Whew, man, cats. Love it. All right. I went off on a little tangent there, but that's why you listen to the podcast, right? And again, if you wanted to see the video that cuts all this talking out, just go to our website and you can click on the video, or we release it on our YouTube channel as well, jazzpianoschool.com. And again, these videos go directly into the lesson without hearing me rant, right? Without hearing all my thoughts, my opinions, my talking. But this is exactly what the podcast is for. So you can filter out based on your choice, completely up to you. I do not care, whatever you want. All right. So with that being said, let's dive right into this episode by Sterling and we will get down to business. Here we go.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is Sterling Koza here for jazzpianoschool.com. Now, today we're doing a continuation of the modal tune series. Now, if you missed our last episode introducing how to shred over modal tunes, I encourage you to go back and check out that one just for the introduction to know exactly, you know, where we left off. Today we're doing a continuation with a more advanced tune, Voyage by Kenny Barron. For those of you that aren't familiar with this tune, it goes like this. We're in the key of F minor. Right, so that's the A sections. This is an AABA tune. The bridge goes down to the flat 6 major, D flat major. And then we're going up in half steps with a 2-5 to D major, E flat major. And then we end back on our 5 chord with a flat 5 in the melody, right? C7 flat 5. Back to F. All right. Very cool tune by Kenny Barron. So let's unpack this tune a little bit before we improvise on it. All right. So we start in F minor. Then we go up a half step to F sharp minor. Now this is a really great opportunity for some lines using parallel ideas with our improvising, and our melody leads us back to B flat, right? Now, an important thing to recognize on this chord change, our F sharp minor, we know it's a half step up from F, but it also happens to be a tritone substitution of the 2 of B7, right? So F sharp B7 leads us to B flat. Now that's a real hallmark of this tune, okay? And we're really going to try to highlight that in our improvising, okay? And then we've got B flat minor. Walk down, back to F, right? Okay. Now let's talk a little bit on how to improvise over these A sections with our modal scales, right? Just a quick review, the three scales we're talking about, if we're in the key of F minor, we're talking pentatonics here. So we've got F minor pentatonic. Our second pentatonic was G pentatonic. G minor, that is, G minor pentatonic. And C minor pentatonic. Last time we talked about how these scales also invert to become major, so A flat major becomes from F minor to A flat major, and B flat major, and lastly C minor becomes E flat major. And again, these scales are all consonant, all diatonic within the key of F minor, right? So that's why we're gonna highlight those. Now we've got our F minor. The next we're gonna need our F sharp minor, right? So just a quick review. F sharp minor, G sharp minor, and C sharp minor. All right. So let's do a little improvising with those two chords, right? So if we're in the first eight bars of the tune, the first A section, we've got our two chords. Here we go. And that takes us to B flat, right? So that was really quick, right? Let's do it, slow it down a little bit. We got our F minor, our F sharp minor, and then going down to our B flat minor. Takes us to our 2-5 back to F minor. Okay? So here's a little improvising over the A sections. Alright, so there I was trying to use a combination of those three scales that we're talking about. Now, one really cool thing that I'd like to highlight in this tune is, like we were talking about before, this tritone substitution to B flat minor, right? F sharp, B7, B flat. If you need a review of tritone substitutions, there's a podcast for that. So check that out on our website. So for the time being, I'm going to talk about our B7 chord. Now, this is really in the same tonality as F sharp minor, right? So these scales should all work. This was our G sharp minor scale, also known as B major 7, right? So that clearly works over our B chord. And this is a really helpful way to use a tritone sub to get to a new chord, right? So in this case, B7 moves down to B flat minor 7. Right, that kind of half step motion. So this half step motion can come in really handy. It can really work on any half step down chord. So right, so you can practice going from B7 down to B flat minor 7. Now, where does this also come up in this tune? Well, in the melody, we've got our flat 5, remember? Our G flat will take us back down to F, right? So if we've got our 5 chord in the key of F minor, C7, we can tritone sub that down to G flat. And guess what? We can throw a G flat scale over it. Right, so with our 2-5 to F minor, that can be a really helpful way to get from 5 to 1 in the key of F minor as well, right? So we've got this tritone sub F sharp 7, F sharp minor 7, B7 to B flat, and we've got 2 in the key of F, G minor, C7, right, G flat over the top down to F minor. All right, cool. So that covers the first half of this tune. It's a little tricky through there, but we're navigating those chords. Now let's talk about the bridge for a second. The bridge of this tune is a great way to practice these pentatonic scales with improvising because it goes up in half steps. We have a 2-5 to E flat, 2-5 to E, and then back to F minor, right? Now let's talk about which scale we can use over each of those major chords, right? So first is D flat major. Now if we move from F minor to D flat, we can just keep holding that F minor scale, which is pretty cool. Right, so that works. Now if we move up a half step to D major, we can move our pentatonic scale up a half step too. So we go from F minor up to F sharp minor. All right. And guess what? If we're playing a 2-5 in the key of D, this scale will work the whole time because it's all within the same key, right? So if we've got our 2-5 E minor 7, A7, D7. Right, so I'm just exercising that minor pentatonic scale. We'll keep moving up. 2-5 to E flat. Our pentatonic scale can be B flat major, also known as G minor, half step up from F sharp. This time I like to think of it in major, but you can think of it as either. So remember, over that that tonic E flat major, we can really be thinking G minor, right? So for that whole 2-5, we're thinking that same pentatonic key. All right, and last one of the bridge. We've got E major, 2-5 to E. If we move a half step up again, we've got G sharp minor. Right. Okay, so let's put that all together. We've got our 2-5 ones on the bridge, starting with D flat. Ready? Here we go. All right, we end on E major there. And if we want to use that tritone sub to get back to F minor, we can use the 5 of F tritone down to G flat as our last pentatonic to get back to F, okay? So let's try the bridge again with that last tritone sub thrown in at the end. Ready? Here we go. All right. So you caught that last... that last G-flat chord. Now, my hands are kind of jumping around a lot. You'll notice over the bridge there, I'm accompanying myself with a combination of rootless and rooted voicings. 2-5 to D, 2-5 to E-flat, 2-5 to E. But you can also accompany yourself with rooted voicings. Taking a closer look at those voicings, we've got D flat major 7, E minor 7, A7, D7, F sharp minor 7, B flat 7, E flat major 7, and F sharp minor 7, B7, E major 7. Now this is a good workout for the left hand, right? Practicing those rooted voicings. So that can be a good way to accompany yourself, and if you are comfortable with that, you can free yourself up to accompanying yourself the way I was, with some more rootless voicings and throwing down a root every now and then. So this was a more advanced representation of how to shred over modal tunes. This tune Voyage is a pretty challenging tune, but I hope you can use some of the tips that I threw at you today with this combination of the scales in various keys, as well as some tritone subs over this tune. And, you know, once you get those under your hands, this can be a really fun tune to pull out to play with people. So hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you had any questions after all of that, feel free to leave them down below and we can take a look to see if we can help answer some of those. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.